There we go. All right, so today we're going to look at Luke 15. And we're going to start out in verse 15. Now, you may have thought I did this already, but I didn't. I'm not trying to trick you or anything. But I'm going to take a bit of a different take on this. And I'm going to talk about Jesus, the master teacher. You know, Jesus was a master teacher. Jesus could relay a message to people and get his point across and relate to different groups of people. Could you imagine today if I were to have some maybe liberal Democrats over here and some conservative Republicans over here and I get you started agreeing on things? How about I get some Yankee fans over here, some Red Sox fans over here, Florida State, Florida, right? You know where I'm going? So I got people who don't agree on anything, you know, nothing. They hate each other, almost, you know. Me and my brother, I grew up in New York, and I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm not going to try and convince you, I'm not Jesus, all right? But my brother is a Yankee fan. Imagine that. I don't know where he gets it from. But today's his birthday, by the way. I'll call him and say happy birthday. But hope he ain't wearing his Yankee hat. But we don't talk during the Red Sox-Yankee games. Those weekends, dead weekends. We can't speak. But anyway, so Jesus was the kind of teacher that could take groups like that and get them to agree on stuff. Isn't that amazing? That's a great teacher. Let's just get started in Luke 15. It says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus." The tax collectors and the sinners. You know what tax collectors were? They were Jewish people living there. And they would take money for Rome from Jewish people. And it didn't matter how they got it. They got it. Whether they had to beat it out of you, steal it, they would take it. They were looked down on by other Jewish people. And then you have sinners. So tax collectors have their own little sinner kind of category here. So tax collectors were even worse than sinners. All right? So you got tax collectors and sinners. And of course, you know the disciples were there. They were listening to Jesus. And then it said, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So look who else was there. The Pharisees and the teachers. So you got tax collectors, you got sinners, you got the disciples, right? We know what a disciple is. Hopefully we are disciples, right? Following Jesus, every word. And then you got the Pharisees, they're just mad at Jesus. And the teachers, they're a little mad at Jesus too, because he's not teaching what they think he should be teaching. So you got these different groups. There's like five different groups of people there. You got your liberal Democrats, you got your conservative Republican, Yankee fans, Red Sox fans, Florida State. You know, these people are all together in the same place. And Jesus is there to teach them and convince them one thing. And he's there to convince all of them. And he's there to teach all of them. He's there to keep them all there listening to him. So this is a story that he's going to give. Now, back in that time, the message of grace wasn't a real big message yet. So put yourself in these people's place. They're hearing this story for the first time about the prodigal son, right? This is the first time they've heard it. You guys and gals have heard it, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of times. It's an old story. We all know it. We all love it. We all can talk about it. Whenever we're talking to a new sinner, a new person coming to the church, we can share this story with them and get them excited because we know it. But this is the first time it was delivered. This is the first time he talked about this. So he's about to really turn some heads. So Jesus says, Jesus told this parable. Suppose he's this is how he starts. This is his intro. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. All right. So he's got these five groups. They've probably all lost something in their life, right? And what do you do when you lose something? You go look for it, right? You ever look for your car keys? Man, those things, they're tricky, you know? They could be anywhere. During the night, they get legs and move, you know? But these five groups have all lost something. So they can identify, okay. So the tax collectors, the sinners, they're over there. Man, I go look for it. And the Pharisees and the teachers, they're kind of like looking over at them, nodding their heads, yes. They really don't want to agree with these people, but they're kind of in agreement. Yeah, I guess I'd go look for them. And then he says, Jesus says, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and they say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. So, they can all kind of agree. They've all lost something, happy they found it. I know I don't call my friends and say, hey, I found my car keys, let's have a party. But I'm happy. I have my own little party. I can go to work now. You know, I can go somewhere. I can do something. If I've lost something, lost money, lost anything. I was over at, Chipotle the other day. And there were these two ladies sitting down. And underneath her chair, there was like this little wad of $20 bills. My first thought was, well, I don't want to tell you my first thought. My first thought, when I came to my senses, I said to the lady, you dropped some money under the table. And she was happy. She was ready to have a party. There was a bunch of money under there. You know, she found something. She didn't know it was lost yet, but she was glad it wasn't, I'm sure. We preemptive strike. Mike was talking about money today. I remember I was listening. I like what somebody said about money. They said, if you want to know what somebody's interested in, just look in their checkbook. You'll know exactly what their thoughts are. All right, so they found it. Now you got your tax collectors and your sinners. They're happy they found the thing. They're smiling, they're nodding. Yeah, that's great, we'll have a party. Pharisees and teachers, they're reluctantly nodding because not only are they agreeing with the taxpayers and the sinners, they're agreeing with Jesus. They don't want to be agreeing with Jesus. That's not their style. And then he says, then there was this man, he had two sons. Now, one was a productive son who was very, very willing to work. The oldest son, I see the oldest son over here smiling, he's happy, productive. And then we had the younger son who really was really pretty worthless. He didn't do much of anything, he didn't want to be there. He wanted to be somewhere else. He wanted to be doing something else. He didn't want to be working in the field, that's for sure. And so that's the two sons that this father has. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So then, Jesus says, the younger one said to the father, give me my share of the estate. Give me my share of the estate. That's what the younger son said to the father. Now the Pharisees and the tax collectors, what a horrible thing for this kid to say. Because this was his inheritance. You know how you get an inheritance? When someone dies. So here he's asking for his inheritance before the father's even dead. He wants this inheritance now so he can take it and go and do whatever he wants with it. Last thing he wants to do is be working on this farm or ranch or plantation, whatever he was working on. He was working too hard. He wanted to take this money and go have fun. So pretty much what he was saying is, I wish you were dead and I wish I could have your money now. So why don't you just give it to me and I'll be on my way. That's not a good thing for someone to ask their father. That's not The Pharisees and the teachers know the commands, the Ten Commandments, right? Honor thy father and mother. How do you honor a father when you say, drop dead and give me your money? That's not honoring your father. So they're mad at this kid. Even the tax collectors and sinners are saying, how could a son do that to their father? They're agreeing. He's got them on the same page. The disciples agree with everything Jesus says. They're just with, you know. We got them. All right, so not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth on wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizen of the country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. Jewish people don't even like pigs, right? And here he is feeding pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Not even the pigs. The pigs wouldn't feed him. This would have been a great end to the story for the Pharisees and the, right? The Pharisees and the teachers. They love this ending. That's exactly what happens when you mess with your dad. You take his money, tell him to drop dead, and now you can't even eat. You're looking for pig pod, you know? You're in a pig pen eating pig pod. Say that five times fast. Pig pod, pig pen. All right, so you're in this pig pod, and you want to pen, and you want to eat pod. These pigs, this is garbage. What do pigs eat? They eat garbage. And they threw this garbage out, and he wants to eat it because he has nothing left. See what happens when you mess with your father? Right? This would have been a good ending to the story. And you could say to your sons, see, boys, this is what happens when you mess with dad. You'll end up in a pig pen looking for pig pod. But that's not the end of the story. But that's the end of the story for the Pharisees and the teachers. Of course, the sinners, they're a little discouraged, you know? This is how we're going to end up. But they're all in agreement, this is what he deserves. Right? This is what he deserves. Exactly what he deserves. When he came to his senses, he said, this is the son, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. That's beautiful. That's what he decided. I'm going to go be a hired. These guys are saying, man, I can't wait for him to get home. You know, dad is going to get him. You know, he's going to be a servant. The tax collectors and the sinners, they're still trying to figure out where this story is going, but they're all on the same page. Now, it says, but while he was a long way off, and the father saw him and was filled with... Now, if I had a little board here and it said, and the father was filled with, and put a line here, what do you think the Pharisees and the teachers would say? Hearing the story the first time, anger, wrath, revenge. That was the lesson back then. The Pharisee, the sinners, the tax collectors, they probably would have felt the same way. That's what that son deserves. Anger. Resentment. Jesus tells this whole story and gets everybody together. And then Jesus says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. Whoa. I get chills thinking about that. Filled with compassion. If you're just coming back to church after being away a long time, that should mean something. He saw him a long way off and was filled with compassion. And he just didn't stand there and wait for his son. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. What were the Pharisees thinking? No wonder we don't like this guy. Where did this come from? This is grace. They didn't even know the word. They didn't know what that was. And he said, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Darn right you're not. You're not. You're not worthy to be called your son. That's true, right? That's what the Pharisees, that's what they're saying. You know what you did? You told your father to drop dead. You spent all his money. You wasted it on wine, women, and song. You did nothing good with that money. And now it's gone. And now you come back and you want something more? You want more? I'm not worthy to be called your son? No, but the father was filled with compassion. And then it says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. So they began to celebrate. Wow. That's not the story they were expecting. It's not the story any of them were expecting. But that's the story Jesus came to teach, like Willie said, right? This is the story he came to teach. He came to teach us and save us. He came to share grace. He came to show us love. Jesus, I think about this where it says that the son tried, he told them a long story. And while the son was, right after the son talked, then the father said, go get the fatted calf, let's have a party. He wasn't looking for a long story. He was looking for a big hug. That's what he was looking for. That's what God's looking for. Looking for a big hug. He's glad we're back. That's amazing. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story either. That's the end of the story. Like for me, I just love that ending. That's good. But there's more. There's more to the story. Meanwhile, the older son, remember him? That's you, right? The older son. You were working hard. He's working hard. He was doing his job. He was out in the field. He was plowing. He was growing. He was doing things for his dad. He wasn't asking for anything. He just wanted to be there for dad. He was the man. And so he's out there. When he came near the home, he heard music and dancing. You feel a little left out, huh? He's out there working and they're having a little party. And so he called one of the servants and asked him, he didn't have a cell phone, he yelled. He said, called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. And then the servant says, get this, your brother, now his brother's dead to him, right? Told his dad, drop dead, I want your money. He hates his dad. He hates this brother. Can you imagine your brother saying that and doing that to your dad? And you love your dad? How could they? How dare they? How dare they? That's what these people are thinking. We've heard this story a million times. This is the first time it's being told. And then he says, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back and is safe and sound. The older brother was angry. Whose fatted calf should have that been? Right? That was the older brother's fatted calf. That was for a wedding. That was his calf. Not a younger brother's getting his fatted calf because he came back after what he did. This is a terrible story for these people. They're not getting it still. They're still trying to figure it out. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. We did that. The older became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. He wanted his son there. He wanted his oldest son there with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders. I love this part. Yet you never even gave me a young goat. He gets the fatted calf and I never even got a young goat. You know, a young, he specified young goat. Could have had a fat goat, not even a young goat, not even a little goat. He gave me nothing. No goats. And then he says, so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered, now listen to this, has squandered, now maybe that's why the kids are gone, has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fatted calf for him. Do we have angry Christians because we have folks coming in and they get the same reward as people who have been doing this all their life? Do we have angry Christians because there are some Christians who sin differently than we do? Or sin differently than you do? Those homosexuals, those prostitutes, those this, those adulterers. A little gossip ain't bad. A couple of lies here and there. Maybe a foul word. Maybe check out the girl in the bikini a little too long. That's okay. But these other people, they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. Angry. He's angry. He's mad. These people are sinners. This guy's bad. And then, this is the beautiful part. And then, is that clock right? And then, the father says, here's where it ties it all together. If you get nothing out of anything, here's where it's at. My son, the father said, you are always with me. You are always with me. That's the message. He's with him. This story we know is about God and about us. We could be either brother. My son, his father said, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. Everything. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he has been found. He's with me. Your brother is with me. He's back with me. You're always with me. God wants us to be with him. This message is about being with God. If you have issues with anything other than what God shares, come back. If you're just coming back after 7 years, come back. Come back after a long, long time, come on back. You don't know what God's going to do with you once you're with him. So the idea of being with God, no matter who you are, that God can teach, that God can share with anyone. Never thought 11 years ago I would be sharing that story in front of a crowd. It was something in my head, but I never thought I'd be up here doing that. I was just happy to be saved. I was just happy to be saved. I was just happy to have gone into the Melbourne Church of Christ, met Pat Seaman, one of our elders, who took the time to come to my house, told him I was going to hell. He said, let's see what God says. Opened the Bible, lights came out, music played, right? And we talked about seeing what God had to say. So once I accepted Jesus in my life, once I accepted that I wanted to be with him, Pat said, now we need to go get baptized. I was baptized that night. And I remember going over there and saying, I don't want to do this in front of anyone. I want this to be private. And we got over there and they were just cleaning up from the fellowship. So there's still about 30 or 40 people over there. And me and Pat were walking back toward the baptistry and he says, there's going to be a baptism. And all of a sudden there were 30 or 40 people singing. Because I was going to be saved. Wow, what a feeling. Saved through Jesus, saved through baptism. Unbelievable. And because God wants me with him. And he wants you with him. That's the message. If you have issues, problems, things you need prayer, I would imagine you could talk to John or Bill or anybody here. But if you want to be baptized and be saved, brought into the Christian life, brought into Christ, see Bill, John, get with somebody. Do that. Because I'm telling you, it's a life that is unbelievable. An eternal life. Not just a life, an eternal life of beauty. And I've already picked out my house in heaven. You know, I saw one on the internet the other day. I just thought it was beautiful. And I said, okay, God, this is the one I want. He said, we'll see. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for letting me be here again today, and see if you'll let me come back.